10:34, how to respect Krishna as death and women. I think it's a good title for the class, right? Mrityo sarvaharashchaham udbhavashcha bhavishyatam kirti shrir vakchanarinam smritir medhadriti kshama. Hare Krishna. Mrityu, death. Sarvahara, all-devouring. Death eats everything. That's nice. Cham, also. Aham, I am. Udbhava, generation. Cha, also. Bhavishyatam, of future manifestations. Cha, no, kirti, fame. Sri, opulence or beauty. Vak, fine speech. Cha, also. Narinam, of women. Smriti, memory. Medha, intelligence. Dhriti, firmness. Kshama, patience. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna is saying, I am all devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Purport. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Every moment you're dying. Thus, death is devouring every living entity at every moment, but the last stroke is called death itself. That death is Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Govinda. As for future development, all living entities undergo six basic changes. They are born, they grow, they remain for some time, they reproduce, they dwindle, and finally they vanish. Of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb, and that is Krishna. The first generation is the beginning of all future activities. The seven opulences listed: fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious. If, after studying, one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory, or smriti, and the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence, medha, another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness, dhriti. And when one is fully qualified, he is humble and gentle. And when one is able to keep his balance, both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience, kshama. mrityu sarva harascha aham uddhavascha bhavishyatam kirti shrir vakcha narinam smritir medha tritikshama. I am all-devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. The answer to all the questions is here. Gita gives you all the easy, difficult, and middle, and very difficult, and impossible problems resolved. So who is the source of everything, good, bad, and everything? It's Krishna. So who is unbeatable, who you cannot beat? It's, they say, as certain as death. As certain as death. So this is one thing we can be 100% sure about, that whatever has taken birth will die. Right? That's the Gita ontology. And if something does not die, it's never born, the soul. So who is this birth? So such a powerful thing? That's Krishna. Then the next one is very interesting. And just now I've gotten a brilliant realization. Just this few seconds ago, about 378 seconds ago, approximately. The next one, because bhavishyatam, of all things that are yet to be, bhavishyatam, how do we translate this here? Karshalebo, this is nice, karshalebo, especially if you glue it together, karshalebo. How do you have it? Yeah, it's a Sanskrit nis. Nechakina Sanskritu. Slovenshina. Yes. Što će tek nastati? Okay. Karshalebo sounds more. Okay. Basically, bhavishyatam is the future. The future. And Krishna says, of the future, I am birth. Basically, if you want some future, produce it. Just do it. So, Nike should pay royalties to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada. We should go to Nike and take some royalties for the trademark slogan. Just do it. So Krishna says, you want some future? Give birth to it. Do it. Very proactive. Very positive. Yes. That's my fresh realization. That if you want some future, create it. So Krishna says, of the future, I am the creation. I am giving birth to this future. And then a very mysterious list of seven amazing qualities which resolves the very difficult modern problem. What is good? What is virtue? And different people come up with different answers. Somebody says, if the result is good, then it's good. Then how do you say that the result is good? What if it's good for one country, but for another country? Just a few minutes ago, I read that the 5% of residents of the British Isles, of the Great Britain and Northern Ireland, consume more than the billion of residents of India, of energy. Actually, it's even wrong. Those who are the poorest part of the British Isles, they consume more, even they are something like 50 or 45 million, they consume more than 1 billion Indians in the India, Republic of India. There is a disbalance. Basically, in richer countries, people consume 20 times more than the rest of the world. Just having water flowing everywhere, it's such a luxury. Besides water that's not only safe to bathe, like in Vrindavan in the early days we had, it has very funny water. First of all, one kind of water was with iron, so then after some time you would start to bleed because it would eat your skin. But much funnier was when some electric wire would get crossed with the pipe. And it was a very refreshing shower in the morning. it was not like one shock. It was like brrr. If you close your eyes, you get like flashes, you know, like. But you have to take shower, you know, so you have to do it. So you go take shower. It's not like very heavy, just some. A little refreshment in the morning. some recharge, yes, to charge you for the day. Well, they say it's very good to kill the parasites. There's a whole anti-cancer treatment. You hold very very light, very light electric current, and it's supposed to cure. So in India it gets very just for free, you know. You just get every cure. So if you are in the shower and in the summer in the VHE, I would have hot water in the summer. Only hot water. I didn't say very hot water, only. So if you have water that you can regulate the temperature of, it's such a, and you can drink it. You not only wash without skin peeling and having flashes in the eyes, you are rich. You are very rich. You are very privileged. But not only that, you can drink it. And it tastes good and it's safe to drink. It's such a luxury. So, are we always grateful for all these gifts that Krishna is sending? So, what is good? You know, sometimes what is good for one is not so good for the others. So, we are enjoying so many things, and then, you know, 3, 4, 5 generations down the road, will they have water? Will they have, maybe at least they'll have mangoes growing in Norway and the Netherlands, mangoes and kiwis. Now we have kiwis only in south, here in Croatia and some parts of, we also have in Slovenia kiwis, but not in the Netherlands. So if we are not careful, we can heat everything up so much that after several generations, who knows what will happen. So what is good for one? How do you measure what is good? How many people do you need to determine this is good or this is not good? So the result is, and then under this ethical theory that you measure by the result, that's what all these murder regimes were using. Okay, let's kill, 10, 20, 40 million people, but for the others it will be good. So it's good. Then 60 million will enjoy. So what if we killed 40 million? More people enjoy. So you can see this is not a very, very good ethical system. Because if you sacrifice. Basically, it's human sacrifice. If you sacrifice even one human voluntarily, you know, is it going to produce a good result? Will the others actually be able to enjoy, or will the horrible karma fall? So ethical theories. Anyway, I'm repeating about these ethical theories because I'm trying to remember. I found a very important book on what is good, Krishna Kshetra Maharaja's library in Simhachalam. Fortunately, this book had his notes on the margins and underlining here and there with a pencil. It's a very difficult book. I'm telling you, I've gone through it 3 times. I'm still struggling. Alasdair MacIntyre. So this is one theory. The other theory is there are some things that are good always. So this is Kant's imperative that, you know, like protecting, helping is always good. Some things are always good. Then also you can see that, like, for example, being truthful. But we see that when you tell the gangsters where somebody is running, this is a thing that's supposed to be always good, but the result is that people die. So it's not good. Then the other theory is that if you are good, then everything you do is good. So you would like to join the club and have the license to that everything is approved, but also you can see it's basically, it depends on how you define who is good, and it always depends on the society. Like, for example, in Rome and Greece, they didn't have virtue of humility, for example. They would not understand why being humble is good. What's good about it? What's this nonsense, you know? What's the point? And Hare Krishna. So, depends on the society. But here we finally have the answer. What is good? Where is the virtue? So the virtue is here. Kirti, Shrir, Vak. Among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. Basically, good is Krishna. And he manifests as these women. So who are these women? This is a very fascinating story. Who are these women? They are, some of you may know who they are. They are actually persons. They are daughters of Daksha. They are daughters of Daksha. And most of them got married to Dharma, the god of religion. So therefore, if you want some of these things like, you know, opulence, intelligence, without dharma, it doesn't work. Because they are very chaste, they are very faithful to their husband, dharma. So if you try to get some of these blessings, insulting their husband, it will not work. But if you serve their husband, if you introduce dharma, their husband, into your life, directions of dharma, sadharma, sanatana dharma, Vedic principles of good life, then naturally they will give blessings. So there are 24 daughters, and so now in the morning we are reading the 8th canto. There Krishna says, when he comes to Gajendra, he says, if you just remember these daughters of Daksha in the morning, it makes your day fortunate. And it destroys sin, just remembering these daughters. They're not ordinary, these are not ordinary words, not ordinary qualities. These are virtues, and they are goddesses, and they are wives of Dharma. So it's a little more complicated. So we have here the list of 12 famous daughters of Daksha married to Dharma. So the first one was Shraddha. Actually, the commentators say cha, vak cha. So cha means these and the rest of the daughters. So it not just these seven, but it includes all the others. So Shraddha gives birth to Shubha, good fortune. So Shraddha, respectful faith, with her husband Dharma, gives birth to the son Shubha, good fortune, good luck. We all like good luck. Do you wish somebody good luck sometimes? So that's him. He's the daughter, he's the son of Dharma and Shraddha. Maitri. This is another daughter of Daksha. Maitri, you may know what it means, what is the meaning of this word, Maitri. Maitri. Very famous. Maitri. Friendship. Yes, it's very famous now. It's popularized as metta through the Sri Lankan Buddhism. Metta. It's simplified Maitri. And it's how Madhyam Bhakta is supposed to behave, Maitri. Friendship. So she and Dharma give birth to, you will like it, Prasad, which originally means serenity. Serenity means clear, peaceful, happy, satisfied mind and consciousness. So if you have Dharma and if you have friendliness, you can get clear satisfaction, clarity and satisfaction. That's their son. And vice versa. If you want clarity, you need Dharma and Maitri, friendliness. Or Krishna and all of them. So Bhagavatam gives all of them, the full package. Then this is, would you like to be fearless? Do you want fearlessness? Would you like to be fearless and having no worry, no anxiety? So Abhaya is the son of Dharma and Daya, mercy, which is another principle of how a Madhyam Bhakta is supposed to live and practice mercy. So if you practice mercy, then naturally you will get blessings of the wife of Dharma and their son, fearlessness, freedom from fear, security, safety, feeling safe. Next one, yeah, this is Sukha, happiness. Happiness is the son of Shanti, peace. She's also a daughter. Or if you just want some peace, a little peace, so that's also a wife of Dharma, Shanti. And if you have dharmic life and peace, you will have happiness. Also, according to chapter 2, Ashantasya kuta sukham. If you don't have Shanti, where will you get sukha? How will you get happiness? Not possible. So that's also the same family. Then, if you want more than just happiness, we have muda, delight. Delight. Great joy. This is one of the words we have trouble. Yeah, like ecstatic joy. This is also a son of tushti, satisfaction, and dharma. Then enthusiasm comes as the son of pushti, nourishment and dharma. Kriya, work, another wife of dharma, gives birth to yoga. Then Dharpa, being expert, is the son of Unnati, advancement, being noble, Unnati. It does have a few, like Dharpa can also mean pride. So this is a certain warning. If you're not careful, instead of becoming expert, you can become proud. So you have to be careful. Artha, if you want money, and things, then they are, he is the son of Buddhi, intelligence, who is also the sister of Medha. Medha, which is translated as not just intelligence, but mental energy, mental vigor, or just brains, sometimes. Medha. Medha actually means just brains. And her son is memory. And then Kshema, security, is the son of Titiksha, tolerance. If somebody insults you and you are able to not be insulted, then you can be very safe. Prashraya, being respectful, is the son of Hri, who is shyness, being shy. And then Murti is the 12th daughter. Yes, she is the mother of Naranarayan. So she blesses with... So Murti means a form. So you have the best manifestation of forms given through the Shastric process. And if we worship, then we can actually get in touch with the Lord. With the Lord and get blessings. So these are some of the famous virtues. But you can see that some were not here. Although it says that they are wives of Dharma, but actually some of them are not. Shri, mentioned here, was the daughter of Bhrigu and Kyati, another Dakshas. She's Dakshas, not daughter, but granddaughter. And she is the wife of Shri. She's the wife of Goddess of Fortune, is the wife of Vishnu, yes. We try to remember. Vishnu. Yes. Then Vak is the goddess of speech mentioned here. And we have Smriti, memory, married to Angira, another sage. And Kshama, patience or forgiveness, is the wife of, becomes the wife of Pulaha. Pulaha gave blessings to Parashara to write Vishnu Purana, to write the best, one of the best Puranas. Recently, there was a new translation produced, because it's been like 200 years from the last translation into English. There's one Sanskrit professor who translated, made the new translation for free. It's available, it's open for everybody. And he gives an interview, and they asked him, so what did you like best in Vishnu Purana? He says, you know what? I really, really liked Krishna's pastimes. This is so nice. And Krishna in Vrindavan, so whatever stories in Vishnu Purana are about Krishna, they are so attractive. He says, I did not expect, but I became so attracted. I don't know how easy connected to devotees or not, but he translated this Vishnu. So he got blessings, why? From Pulaha. So you can see, Pulaha's wife is Kshama. Kshama, in Hindi, if you say, forgive me, if you want to say, forgive me, you say, Kshama, Kshama Kijiya. Kijiya means make or do. You can say it in Bengali, Koro. Kama Koro. Kshama, Kshama. Kshama means forgiveness or patience or tolerance. And forgiveness, Kshama. It's one of the qualities of a Brahmana mentioned in the 18th chapter. So there is a goddess of forgiveness. There is a goddess of patience, Kshama. And she's the wife of Pulaha. And it so happens, I don't know how it happened, but somehow or other he is a relative of demons and Rakshasas. And Parashara, when some demon cursed Kalmashapada, and Kalmashapada ate all the sons of Vasishta, Vanchakalpatarvishta, has eaten. And then Parashara was the son of Shakti, the son of Vasishta. And Vasishta wanted to commit suicide. We have it described in the first canto. But when he jumped from the mountain, the stones became soft. When he went into the water ran away, because everybody was afraid. If we kill this great sage, it'll be our fault. So he couldn't even commit suicide. But then he heard how from the womb, I don't remember his mother, from the womb of Shakti's wife, he hears somebody chanting Vedic mantras. And he says, oh, there is a son of my son, and that's Parashara. And then Parashara takes birth, and he decides, these rascals, Rakshasas and demons, I will kill them. And that's described in our Canto 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he starts a yagya, and they are going to die. And so Pulaha comes and he says, you know, what is the ornament of a Brahmana? You know how Brahma once became Lord Brahma? You know what makes a Brahmana beautiful? Forgiveness. So why don't you... So they are, you know, they are cannibals, man-eaters, so if they follow their nature, why don't you follow your nature of being brahminically forgiving? Why don't you forgive? So Parashara thought, true, why should I become also like those Rakshasas? They killed my uncles and father, so why should I become like these Rakshasas and kill all of them? Okay, and he agreed. So then Pulaha gave him blessings and he became a great Vaishnava and he wrote the Vishnu Purana and other Puranas. So that's the story. So it's connected because Pulaha's wife is Kshama, forgiveness. And you can see that all these virtues, they are persons. And Krishna says that among women I am these seven goddesses and others. Cha. So you can see that this is the true source of everything good, and this is the true ethics, if we are able to follow Krishna's pleasure, if we are able to offer everything to Krishna, and if we are able to respect Krishna's manifestations everywhere, in a very sober, in a very balanced way. So connect to Krishna and serve Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simplified it even further. It's not that there is no... We need to understand all the complexity, but he made it really simple, because if we... it's a new... accompany everything we do with the Maha Mantra. This will be most successful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But in a friendly way, in a merciful way, in a respectful way, if we act like this, then the mantra will give all the blessings. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? There's so many stories here that can be brought up, but this is a very interesting, very nice verse. Death, birth, and seven women. It's a good title for a movie. Or death, birth, or death, creation, and seven goddesses. Or seven virtues. So, everything clear, yes? Alles klar. Respect. Respect is the key. Should we check our... official Daily Inquirer. No, he's on vacation. Or is it? No, yes. Okay. So, who are the seven women that Krishna says, I am these women? Do you remember? Vak, which is speech.
Fame.
Patience. Shri. Three more. Intelligence. Memory. One more. Steadiness. Yes, steadiness. Steadiness, the acharyas explained that even when your body is tired, you can still continue. That's her blessings. This is Dhriti. Yes. And speech, sarvasya arthasya prakashika, samskritavani. She manifests all arthas. Samskrita means cultured. Prabhupada mentioned Sanskrit, but actually it also means cultured. So she manifests all arthas. It's also very interesting because it means you can either express everything, you can say whatever you need to say, or, which is not easy, or artha means also objects. You can, by proper speech, you can, like Prabhupada asked, showing one a skyscraper. He said, what was the beginning of this? How did it begin, this skyscraper? In Ljubljana, on the Google map, it says Nebotičnik here. You have Nebotičnik number one, Nebotičnik somewhere else. It's like historically. So how did it begin, Prabhupada says? How this skyscraper began? Somebody said money, somebody said design, somebody said desire. Huh? Somebody says idea. Prabhupada says, it began by talking. You begin by talking. So if you talk and talk, then maybe you can produce. Or, right. So, this is one of them. So she's also one of the goddesses. One of the goddesses that Krishna mentions here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.